Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Amy. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to chat with you. This is a long time coming.
So. It is. But we made it happen.
We did. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a lifelong Wisconsinite. I was born and bred in Wisconsin. I love to write about Wisconsin, which is why all of my books are set there. Mm-hmm. I am a wife, a mom. I love to cook, which is kind of, you comes across, I think, in my books. Mm-hmm. I love to travel. Obviously, I love to read. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Right now, my life is really about my book stuff and then my kids, because both of them are in high school and very busy. So I spend a lot of time going places so I can and help maybe drive them to baseball practice, or maybe I'm going to my daughter's performances because she's in the stage crew. So keeps me out of trouble.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I can't imagine. So what has been the process of writing during the pandemic? Has it been any easier, any harder? Like how many people, you know?
I found that when it all started last March, it was very, very, very difficult to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that holds true that for a lot of people, when you're really stressed and there's anxiety and you don't know what's going to happen and there's uncertainty, it's hard to be creative. Mm-hmm. So I found that really, really hard to do. And at that point I was in the process of editing. So I gave myself permission to just take some time, take some deep breaths. I did a lot of puzzles. I binged a lot of shows. Ted Lasso is the greatest gift to pandemic viewing ever. It's so wonderful. So that's really what, but once I sort of adjusted to this new life, as far as the staying home part, that I feel like I've been preparing for that my entire life. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a homebody, except for when I get to travel. Mm-hmm. I love to travel, but otherwise I just kind of want to stay at home. So that part wasn't difficult for me at all, but it was getting those creative part of my mind back up and running. And so like by the time we hit June last year, things started working again and I was able to finish editing. But I do think some of my anxiety that I was experiencing in real life did leak onto the pages. Mm. So yeah.
Okay. So favorite place to travel, since you love to travel, favorite place to travel.
Most recently my family and I went to St. Martin a couple of years ago. Ooh, and St. Martin, if you're not familiar, is this super cool Caribbean island, half Dutch, half French. Mm-hmm. So from a travel standpoint, you get two countries for the price of one, because mm-hmm. it's like a little tiny mm-hmm. island. And my biggest favorite part about it is that there's a lot of really wonderful snorkeling that's available. And I just love to snorkel. So it was that's what I loved. And there's these amazing, food is my favorite part of traveling mm-hmm. and snorkeling. They call them Lolos and they're like little food stands. So you'll come across and there'll be three or four bunched and they're just run usually by local women. And they have a grill and they have all their little side dishes set up, little refrigerator. And it is some of the best and least expensive food you've ever had. It's just amazing. It's like your grandma's cooking you the most wonderful Caribbean food. It was so good.
Oh my gosh. I love it. It's like such an island to go to. So I grew up in the Caribbean.
You know what? So
I grew up in Puerto Rico. So I've traveled to a lot of Caribbean islands and it's like,
It's so good. I love St. Martin's because it's like, it's so noticeable between the French side and the Dutch side. They're like two very different countries. You're like, where am I? And you're like, oh, it's the French side.
So it was just amazing. That's definitely one of those places we want to go back to because it was just cool. And as you know what a Lolo is, you've probably been to one, and just the airport's cool because you can sit on that beach and the airplanes come in so low. Ah, so much fun.
So much fun. I love this. Yeah. I can't wait till we can start traveling again.
I'm with you. Amen.
Yes. So let's chat about what came first, reading or writing. Was it
100% reading?
Okay. And what kind of books did you read?
Well, growing up, bulk of my reading and was always science fiction and fantasy, specifically epic fantasy. I grew up, my house, all of my older brothers and sisters, I'm the youngest of five, all of my older brothers and sisters were avid fantasy readers and science fiction readers. So I grew up around J.R.R. Tolkien and I'm not going to remember any of the classic ones, Frank Herbert and the one who wrote Anne McCafferty with all the dragon books. So I grew up around that. Stephen Donaldson, I think is another one who is really big. And I read a lot of those. And as I grew up, I just kept reading fantasy. I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones. Please God, I hope he finishes the series someday. We'll see. But I also, and the bulk of it, and then I went and got my degree in English. So I read a lot of the classics along the way. And once I finished grad school, I was kind of burnt out on books by dead white guys. Mm-hmm. So I picked up at a garage sale, The Duke and I by Julia Quinn.
Oh my gosh.
And thus began my absolute passion for romance and romantic comedies. I mean, I always liked romantic comedy movies, but I love that in a book. Love historical romance. That is like my favorite, I want to be happy kind of book to pick up. And then women's fiction. And at the time, you know, that was when the chick lit, I hate to use the term, was popular. So Sophie Kinsella, Emily Giffen's first books came out. So all of that kind of fun, colorful covers that have now come back, which is really kind of fun. So those are my bulk, but at the same time, I will literally read anything. Because I think that's important.
I love this. Yeah, I love the illusion. And yeah, I too was a big chick lit fan before I discovered romance. That was what I was reading. I was reading the Bridget Jones Diaries, the Shopaholic, you know.
All those.
They were so good. It was like, and then they're coming back now, which is great.
It is.
But it's like, it's nostalgic of what the early aughts were.
So, I agree.
So let's see, let's talk about the Kindred Spirit Supper Club. So it's a mouthful of a title.
I know.
But I love it. It's like, oh, it's a supper club. You know. So tell us the elevator pitch.
So the elevator pitch is it's about Sabrina Monroe, and she is forced to move back in with her parents and figuratively and literally confront the ghosts of her past, including one ghost who is her best friend from childhood, a rom-com loving ghost who is determined to help Sabrina find her happy ever after. So that's kind of the elevator pitch. A little bit broader picture is Sabrina's family has a secret where they can see ghosts and they help them move on to wherever they move on to. And growing up, it turned out to be a fairly traumatic experience for Sabrina because the first time she sees a ghost, she's in the middle of presenting in class and it just kind of pops up in front of her. And that's, even though she knew it was going to happen, is a little alarming. Couple that with having to keep it a secret. And then on top of that, a childhood bully, because we've all had them. She grew up and she grew very anxious and had a hard time connecting with people. And then she went on to wanting to get out of that town and getting away from all of that. She chose the worst possible career of journalism for someone who is socially anxious. What was she thinking? But it was in her mind, a path out. And after losing five jobs, she has to move back in with her parents and take a job as a duck tour boat guide. So yeah, and then she meets Ray, who is just my favorite, and he's the local supper club owner, hence Kindred Spirit Supper Club.
I love this. And so how do you develop your characters? Do you brainstorm them? Do you come up with them? Like, what's, or did it come to you? Like,
they come to me in pieces. So, and every book is different and every character's path is different. With Sabrina, I knew I needed someone who was a duck boat driver. And I didn't, a typical, at least, because the book is set in the Wisconsin Dells, which is a really touristy part of Wisconsin. And traditionally the duck boat drivers are college students on summer break. So I wanted her to be older than the average one. So it was sort of a bit shameful to have to move back and do this job. But at the same time, it's one of the better paying jobs because they can make a lot of money in tips. So it's a good job to have, and will help her pay down her student debt, but it's still humiliating. And to top it off, her childhood bully is the one who is her boss. So I knew I wanted that. And so she came together in pieces. The anxiety component came in to kind of flesh out, but she was pretty fully formed. And then when I started thinking about her love interest, when I was writing, I kept getting feedback, he's too perfect. He's too perfect. He needs to have more flaws. And I kind of rejected that. I'm like, he doesn't really have to. I mean, he can have his own things going on, but can't he just be a really great guy from the get-go? And because I wanted him to be somebody who could look at Sabrina and see that she's a little quirky and not always, and maybe a little prickly off the bat, a little social awkward. And instead of trying to get her to come out of her shell, see her for who she is and accept that and adjust his behavior accordingly. Because I want, ultimately at the end of the day, I think as a population, we need to be a little bit more empathetic about people who are different from us, you know, be it a skin color situation, be it a disability situation, whatever it is, we don't know what people go through on a daily basis. And so we should give each other a little break in trying to, and accept, you know, behavior we may not think is what, I hate to use the word normal, but normal for whatever that might mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that I guess is how my characters came to be, to answer your question.
I love that. I love this fact is like, you know, they come to you, you know, sometimes fully formed, sometimes just little bits by pieces. And then you, as an author, you're puzzling together. You're kind of like, how did it all make sense, you know, with the story? And like, even the story, how does it make sense to the characters? Like, how do you react, you know? Like,
exactly.
So tell us, like, basically, what are you working next?
So my next book, I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because we haven't announced the plot, but I can say it's going to be a Christmas book.
Woo!
So I'm very, very, very excited about it. At the same time, it's really hard to write about Christmas when you really want summer to come.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so how's the research like? Do you watch Christmas movies? Like, how do you listen to music? Like,
I thought I would listen to Christmas music when I was writing it. Thus far, I think that's going to be more of I'm still drafting. So I think that's going to be more of something that I do in the editing phase because right now I'm really focusing on getting the broad strokes of my characters down and the basic plot. And it's when I need to start putting on all the window dressing that I think and really focus on atmosphere that I'll want to get in the Christmas mood.
Yeah. And any summer plans other than, you know?
Well, my son plays baseball. So baseball season is about to kick off here, which is something in Wisconsin because it's like 50 degrees today. And if they still have tryouts yet, but they'll start playing in like a week and a half. And it'll be 50 degrees and they're playing baseball and we're on our side, you know, in our winter coats on the sidelines, because 50 degrees in the spring always feels colder than 50 degrees in the fall. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it does. So that's a big plan. My daughter is going to be a senior next year. So we're starting to do talk about colleges. So there might be a few college trips.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's assuming we can even see anything. Sometimes it's just walking around the campus. So we'll see. Nothing big, though. We like to keep it simple.
Keep it simple. I feel like that's how I think you're just kind of like emerging from the fog. And it's like, you don't want to go all the way in, like from 0 to 100. You want to just take baby steps to just like, okay, this feels like good. Like maybe just move your try or, you know.
Yes. I was vaccinated like a month ago and went out to dinner recently. And that was, it's a new experience. It is. It's a little bit like the groundhog peeking out on, you know, February 2nd. You're like, what's going on? Is it safe?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So yeah. So, but it's nice. It's nice to get out there and start doing things that feel a little normal. Though I have to say, I don't mind the face masks. I kind of like them because it discourages people from talking to me at the store.
Yes. I think, you know, I've been living in big city, so I don't have that option. Like I have the option of like talking to my barista, but they see me every single day. So there's a conversation there, but for the most part, I haven't had that experience, but I can understand like, you know, places like Texas and places like even Wisconsin, like they're more chatty people.
There are more chatty people, yes.
So what has been a book that you read this past year or last year or at some point that you can't stop crushing about?
Oh my God. I cannot stop crushing about Aisha at Last by Uzma Jalaluddin. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. And I'm very, very excited because I'm going to be doing a panel event with her in a couple of weeks. So I'm going to fangirl all over her. I loved it. I cannot get enough of Jane Austen reinterpretations, and I should because there's 5 zillion of them, but I love them. And this one was such a fresh breath of air. It was a lovely twist. I love it when, I don't know why it took so long for publishing to start exploring diverse stories, because personally, I love it when I can have a rom-com and dive into a different community where it's not all about racism and it's not a serious tome. It's just, hey, this is this person's life and they experience all these wonderful things. And so I love this new exploration that we're having right now. It makes me very happy. So I really, really love Aisha at Last. I'm very excited for her next one, which I think is called Hannah Khan Carries On, but I'm not exactly sure, but it's
such a show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's close.
I like it. I love the exploration of own voices to explore joy as opposed to trauma. Yeah. Like that's like,
yes.
For. So
that is it's a better way of saying what I was trying to say. Yes. I like it when they explore the joy. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I agree.
Not everyone's life is traumatic, you know, and you may want to like explore falling in love and like having first kisses and first jobs and first experiences. Like that sounds like fun too.
I agree. And what I found really amazing about Aisha at Last is because it takes place with Muslim characters, it's very chaste, but like
your sunshine
stuff, you're feeling things, and it's still got a steamy component despite there's not touching, which I found amazing. I loved that she could do that. I really, really kudos to Uzma. I cannot wait to meet her.
I love it. So tell us where you can find you online.
Okay, you can find me at my website, which is amyereichert.com, AmyReichert.com. And on there are my links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Right now I feel like I'm wildly saturated because I have my book coming out next week. So there's a lot of posts. So if you go check me out, don't feel like you're going to be inundated like that all year long, because that's not the case. It's just a lot right now. And then I also have a newsletter you can sign up for, which I'm going to be revamping shortly and starting to do on a little bit more regular basis with giveaways and fun behind the scenes stuff.
I love this. Thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.